Turning your Bibles now to Jeremiah chapter 49, if you will, please. Jeremiah chapter 49. And we'll read verses 7 and 8. Jeremiah 49, verses 7 and 8. The thought for today is a thought, dwell deep. We as believers need to dwell deep. And he mentions these words in Jeremiah 49, beginning with verse 7. Concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? Flee ye, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan. For I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will visit him. And those two words there were a suggestion from God Almighty to a people to dwell deep. And I hope we can keep that thought in our mind today. Here, in this context, the enemies of Israel were there fighting them, and there was all kinds of problems between those groups. And in that territory was a group of traveling merchants, and they were called the Dedanites. They were from Dedan, and that's where they got their name. And God had no score to settle with them, but he had a score to settle with some of the others, these Edomites and others, who had been messing around with the apple of his eye, the nation of Israel. It's never a good thing to mess around with God's chosen people and to do the wrong thing toward them. I hope our government would realize that. But here he was, a merchant. Here they were, rather, travelers, merchants that were traveling. And he says, I'm fixing to come in there and I'm going to judge the Edomites. And I want you Dedanites to go somewhere and dwell deep. Get in a safe place. Get in a cave or some caves or deep down in the woods. But go deep. Dwell deep so that you will not be affected in the wrong way because of that. Now, I'm a merchant today. Did you know that? And I am giving away something. It's called the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this world is not my home. I am a person that knows the Lord Jesus Christ, but I am hid with Christ in God, and I'm not going to be judged because I've found my hiding place. And my hiding place is not being a Baptist necessarily, or not being baptized, or not just joining a church. My hiding place is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God said to the Dedanites, hide in the Lord, in essence, is what he was saying to them. Dwell deep. And we are like them. We're just passing through. But while we're passing through, God wants us to dwell deep. God never said, back up. He didn't say backslide or back up. Go the opposite direction. It's always onward forward. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. We're to go on, forward, pressing, always going on and on and on. That's what Christ did on the Via Dolorosa. When he was on the road, the way of suffering, and that's what that word means, those words mean. And Jesus Christ did not back up. Thank God he didn't stop. He went all the way to the cross of Calvary. And I'm glad that he did. We say sometimes preachers whine around about people hammering on them, and a lot of times Christians say the same thing. Friend, if you get that way and you think it's a little bit hard, go stand by the cross and listen to the hammer ring again as they drove the spikes into the arms or the hands, the wrists of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as they drove them into his feet. And then it doesn't seem like you and I have so many problems. We need to go on, don't we? We need to dwell deeper. We need to grow in the Lord. Hebrews, the Bible tells us in 6:1, let us go on. That's always a good admonition to the children of God. Go on. Because we are forever in need of these things. New vision. New vision. New strength. And new power to do the job that God has called us to do. We must go on. And if we're going to have vision, strength, and power, we've got to dwell deep. An old preacher prayed one time. And he said, Lord, help us to deeper sink that we may higher rise. We need to dwell deep. Deeper sink that we might higher rise. The deeper we go in God, I promise you, the higher we're going to rise in the spiritual things, in vision, strength, and power. How do we need to go deep and dwell deep? We need to go deeper in the Bible, amen? We need to go deeper in the Word of God. Well, preacher, I love my Bible. I don't doubt that you do. But are you going deeper into it? Oh, I love the Word of God. I believe it's the Word of God. But are you going deeper? And I don't mean like the theologians say, the deeper life. That deeper life so you can learn more and be intellectual and spar intellectually with another theologian and see who's the smartest and get wrapped up in Reformed theology and hyper-Calvinism and all of that. No, we don't need to dwell deep that way. We need to dwell deep into the Word of God, like Paul said, when he said, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Dwell deep. Get in the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and make you a better Christian, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dwell deep. The author of the book is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach you. Let him guide. Eat the manna of the Word of God. Get alone with God often. Get alone with God every day and eat the manna of this Word. Dwell deep in the Word of God. The Word of God is sweet. I love the Bible. I love it. I love to carry it around. I love to hold it. I just like the feel of it in my hand. And I love to hold it to my heart. I love to study it. I love to read it. And it's so sweet and so precious. The psalmist said in 119, you're familiar with that psalm, aren't you? Verse 103. Dr. Tom Malone, I was reading something that he wrote the other day, and he said he spent 27 weeks in Psalm 119, so I don't feel too bad. You Wednesday night crowders know what I'm talking about. But the psalmist said in that verse, how sweet are the words unto my taste. The psalmist knew what it was about. How sweet are the words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, honey's pretty sweet. But he said, the Word of God is sweeter than honey is to my mouth. How sweet is the Word of God to you? Ah, it's sweet when a Christian sins, isn't it? It's sweet. I'm glad 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. Isn't that sweet? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I am so glad that's in the Word of God. And don't look too pious at me. You need that too. Because we all fail God. That same chapter and book tells us that if we say we have no sin, we lie, and the truth is not in us. Thank God that the sweetness of the verse, it tells me I can get on my face before God and ask him to forgive me when I have failed him. And surely I have, and surely we do. And I have to do it just like you. It is sweet to those who need comfort. I'm thankful for the comfort of the Word of God. Isaiah 43:2. When thou passest through the waters, and you're going to pass through them. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. The rivers, they shall not overflow thee. You're going to pass through the waters, and I'm going to be with you, and the rivers are not going to overflow you. God knows exactly how tall you are. And he's not going to let the rivers overflow you. And all of us have deep valleys. We have rivers that seem impassable, mountains we cannot tunnel through. We have the fires that come, the trials that come to our lives. But you know what? God has made us a promise. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Boy, that's sweet, isn't it? the sweetness of the Word of God. It is sweet to a troubled mind. Psalm 119, 130. It giveth understanding to the simple. Hey, I'm encouraged by that. That's me. Giveth understanding to the simple. Just thank God that we have that. And God gives it to us. You know, God loves simple people. And He loves to talk to simple people. And He's willing to talk to us. Dr. Malone, Tom Malone, said, a lot of preachers put the hay so high in the rack that the little lambs can't reach it. Well, that's never been my problem. I've never had a problem. I'm simple. So I can put the cookies down on the lower shelf. And I hope that's a blessing sometimes where the cookies are. And that's not a brag. I'm just saying that God will take you and use you. And God will give wisdom to the simple. God does that. Understanding to the simple. If our mind gets confused, go to the Word of God. It's an unconfuser. Go to the book and it'll help you out. It's sweet to those who are weak. You see, sometimes we just think, I can't do it. And that's not all bad for us to think that. But the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hey, that's sweet, isn't it? I'm not depending on myself. That's sweet to me as a preacher to know when I preach, I'm not just depending on myself. Thank God for that. But I'm trying to depend on the Holy Spirit of God to take the truth of the Word of God and use it to the glory of God. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm not good in some languages and all the ancient languages. I have spent 140 hours in Greek. I entered in seminary and I took 140 hours and it was all Greek to me. Don't tell Dr. Barber I said that. He was one of my professors. But I can tell you that this verse means He keeps on pouring strength into me. He just keeps on pouring strength into me. He will strengthen you. And I'm glad His strength never, never, never runs out. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He never says I'm too weak. He never says, hey, I've worn out my patience today with everybody else. I'm too tired for you. Come back tomorrow. God doesn't say that. Thank God we have Him. And He is always strong. It's sweet to the brokenhearted. The Word of God is sweet to the brokenhearted. You know, I get phone calls all the time. I get letters. I get emails. I'm telling you, I read some sad ones this week. Almost daily I get some kind of phone call or a letter or an email or something about some heartache and heartbreak that somebody has. And I can tell you that I've been there too. I've had my heart broken. I've had heartaches like most of you, probably all of you. I've been there, but I can tell you this book heals a broken heart. It heals a broken heart. That's why we need to go deeper in the Word of God. The psalmist again in 119:71, he said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. It's not all bad when you have trials and troubles and broken heart. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why, psalmist? That I might learn thy statutes. Go deeper in the Word of God when your heart is broken, that you might learn what God wants you to learn. And I believe that it is sweet when you've lost a loved one. When you've lost somebody that you love so dearly. I'm so glad for Revelation 21, 1 through 6. I'm so glad for 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm so glad for 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And all the way through verse 18 when he says, weep not as those that have no hope. And then he tells us one of these days Christ is going to come. Dead and Christ are going to rise first. And we will be translated. And we'll all meet Him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. I'm glad that we can have comfort from the Word of God when our hearts are broken. Thank God for the hope. Aren't you glad we have hope? We'll see our loved ones again. We'll know them. We'll recognize them. We will know even as we are known, Paul said. And I'm glad for that. You know, some people are mixed up about the Bible. I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for people who are mixed up about it. I feel sorry for those who run around with them. I feel sorry for those they influence. I feel sorry for them. The Word of God does not, the Bible does not contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. It is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Sometimes you say that in a different group and they look at you like you're crazy. I think I'm pretty safe here at Worth Baptist Church. But this is the infallible, inerrant, God-breathed Word of God that I have before me. Now, we don't need to fool around with liberals, and we don't need to fool around with, here we go, lose my popularity on my 13th anniversary, liberal seminaries and liberal movements where we put our funds and money into those things. We don't need to do that. That's condoning it and supporting it. And my dear friend, that's wicked. And you know what? Why would I want to help finance something that's going to deteriorate the faith? I'm not going to do it. Well, I've got to hurry. Go deeper in the knowledge of Christ. Not only the Word of God, but the knowledge of Christ. Well, preacher, I know the Lord. May I ask you a question? Do you know Him intimately? And could I answer your question for some of you? It's pretty obvious you don't. Some of you, you do. But do we know the Lord intimately? Job 22:21. The Bible challenges us, and Job said, acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. And watch this promise. Thereby, acquaint yourself with the Lord. Be at peace with the Lord. Be intimate with God. Thereby good shall come unto thee. You want good to come to you? Acquaint yourself with the Lord. Get close to the Lord. Be intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, let Him be as real to you as your wife, your husband, your children, your mother, your father. Get better acquainted with Jesus. And when you do that, the more acquainted you are with Him, the more good is going to come into your life. That's a promise of the Word of God. All of us today need to know Him better. Every last one of us. Me. And we need to go deeper into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, here's one of the problems. There were 12 that followed Him around. And they all talked about the same way, dressed about the same way, and probably hugged Jesus the same way, and maybe gave Him the greeting of a kiss on this cheek and this cheek. But one of them's name was Judas. They had all the language, ran around with Him, but he was in His very presence, but he wasn't even saved. You say, preacher, do you believe some church members are not saved? Absolutely. Thousands around the world have never come to know Christ. All they've had is what Judas had, was some kind of outward profession. But when it came right down to it, he was lost, and it was proven. Be sure you know Him. Be sure you know Him as the Son of God and the only Redeemer and Savior that you can have. Be like the Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip joined himself to that chariot and talked to them, and he told him about how to be saved. And then he said, can I be baptized? He said, if thou believest with all thy heart. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he said, whoa! Let's stop the chariot and go down into the water. Not find a thimble and sprinkle it on you, but go down into the water and picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And that's exactly what the eunuch believed in. And he wasn't ashamed of it. He knew God. Now, on one occasion, we know, or a few occasions, we know that there were three that seemed to know Jesus a little better. One was a fake, like some church members. But three seemed to know Jesus a little better, Peter, James, and John, as they followed Christ. They were with Him when He raised the girl from the dead. They were with Him on the Mount of Transfiguration. What a glorious opportunity that would have been. And then we see them in the garden as they went a little deeper with the Lord Jesus Christ. But guess what? There was still room for growth. They didn't go quite deep enough. And Jesus came back to them after all of those occasions and said, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you have dwelled deeper with me, gone deeper with me for 1 hour? They still failed him in some degree. And I think the lesson to us there is that there's still room to get closer to Jesus today, folks. You know, last Sunday night when we had the musical, man, the presence of God was here. Didn't you feel close to the Lord? If not, probably it was your fault. There's a sweet, tender closeness that we can have with Jesus Christ if we desire it and want it. I always think of Mary when I think of that in the Bible. She knew what it was all about. She knew what it was all about. Luke 10:42, Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What was that? She sat at his feet and loved on him. Not in an immoral and wrong way. Martha was in the kitchen washing the pots and pans and mad because, why doesn't Mary come help me? Jesus said, just leave her alone. She's got it right. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in the hubbub of life, we forget to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to dwell deeper. We need to know him. Know him as Savior. Know him as Shepherd. Know him as the sanctifier of your life. Know him as the Advocate who is right now making intercession for you. Know him as your King who is coming again. And I wouldn't be surprised that it's very soon. Know him. Go deeper in the knowledge of Christ. And then go deeper in soul winning. You probably knew I'd get around to that on this day. Soul winning. Our theme is each one reach one. You heard the choir sing that. Each one reach one. And I pointed out to you recently that 75% or 79, somewhere between 75 and 79% of the people that get saved and come to church, I hate to admit this, not because of my preaching or the preacher's preaching, not even because of the music, and we have a great music program, and all of those other things, not because of the kids' programs and all of that. It's because one person got interested enough to invite them to church. One of the largest churches in America today never had a visitation program. Never. Not one organized visitation program. They just had a bunch of excited people who wanted people to come to church with them. And they got saved and they grew and baptized regularly and frequently because they wanted to dwell deeper in soul winning. You say, preach, why do you bring this up? Well, so many people are not doing it anymore. So many people have quit doing that. And we use this excuse, hey preacher, don't you know we're in the last days? Well, did you know that the last days started when the Apostle Paul was around? He talked about the last days then. Now, we may be in the latter days of the last days, and I believe we are, but that's no excuse whatsoever. Jesus said, God said, ask for the old path. And that's probably what we need to do. I don't change easily, and neither should you, because if we change a whole lot, we've got to rewrite the Word of God. But soul winning and witnessing and sharing the gospel is still in the Bible. Could anybody say an amen to that is the truth? You say, well, I'll witness to the wrong person. Did you know you can't witness to the wrong person? The Bible says that. Mark 16:15, go to every creature. Help yourself. There are plenty of them out there. You say, well, I might go to the wrong house. Well, he said, every house. Every creature in every house, Acts 5:42. People call you on the phone and they say, is Oscar there? Don't ask me why I chose Oscar. I just thought that was a very dignified name. If your name's Oscar, I'm not making fun of you. My name's Willie. Don't be making fun of me. Is Oscar there? No? Oh, I'm sorry. I've got the wrong number. Oh, no. You don't have the wrong number. You've got the number of a born-again, saved child of God that's going to heaven. Would you like to know how to go to heaven? You say, that's radical. Well, hello. Let's get a little radical. Let's do something for the glory of God. You get all these duns in the mail,
All these credit cards, we love you. We got a Dallas Cowboys star on its beautiful blue credit card. We're sending it you because we love you. Folks, if you believe that, I can sell you some land underwater in Florida right now, very cheap. They want your 24% interest. That's all they want. Why don't you just take that envelope and put a track in it? They already got postage paid on it. Send it back to them. Let them pay for your witness. Amen. It'll work. There have been people who have been saved that way. Honest. We just need to use our mind and take care of the opportunities and seize those opportunities that are there. Keep some tracks at your house. Keep them around. Somebody knocks on your door. Serviceman comes in. Give them a track. Tell them about Jesus Christ. They're going to charge you $75 for walking in the door anyway. Might as well get a little money's worth. They'll check it and say, you got to have that fixed. Now, how much will that cost? $75. You didn't fix it? No. I'm just giving you the analysis. $300, I'll fix it. I'll come back. Go deeper in soul winning. Peter had a little problem, and they were not catching any fish. What did Jesus tell them to do? Launch out into the deep and drop your net down. Where? In the deep. See, he was fishing in shallow water, and Jesus said, no, that's not going to do it. Get out there in the deep water. Let your nets down in the deep water. And then when he obeyed the Lord, guess what happened to the nets? They filled up to the point that they broke. Wouldn't that be a great problem for our church to have? That we'd just pack this thing out so much that we'd have to remodel again. That'd be a great problem. I'd love that problem. But we need to do it. You may think I'm trying to entertain you here. I'm not. When we think we've done all we can, bless God, we need to go deeper. We need to reach more people. We're in shallow water, and we can't do it because is no excuse. We just need to do it. We need to be soul winners. And you know what blesses my heart is for somebody to come tell me sometime, oh, so-and-so from down at your church, and they give them the name and say, you know, he led me to the Lord. She led me to the Lord. And they come or walk down the aisle and say, and I'm saying, was it my good message? Was it my great preaching? No, I wouldn't ask them that, but you know, it's not that. And they say, you may be thinking, well, maybe the message touched them. And they come down the aisle and they say, so-and-so led me to the Lord last week. That's why I came. Isn't that great? Amen. Well, I rejoice more in that than anything else. That's great. That'd be marvelous. And do it anytime you want and all the time. That'd be great. Be a soul winner. Get people saved. Go deeper in prayer. We need to go deeper in prayer. Now, it's 3 minutes past 12, and some of you are looking at your watch. But remember, they took 5 to 8 minutes of my normal time. I usually get it at 11:30, so I still got a little time left. And if you don't want me to preach past 12, then tell everybody else not to go past 11:30. Then I'll try to preach only to 12:15. And I'm just joking. Don't worry about it. Well, somewhat. Prayer. Go deeper in prayer. Prayer, somebody said, is a power getter. It is a victory giver. Prayer is a holiness promoter, a dispute adjuster, an obstacle remover, a sin killer, a heart warmer, a soul cleaner, and a Christ revealer. That's prayer. And thank God we have the privilege of praying, and God gives us that privilege. An itinerant preacher over in England years ago was out itinerant going. He was preaching here and preaching there. Every once in a while, he'd get back home, and he began to fret and be concerned about his family. God, I'm gone so much. I'm out so much. I don't know if my children, he had a number of children, and I don't know if they're going to be saved. I'm out serving you and preaching for you. All of that, I don't know if they'll wind up in heaven. One night he came home, quietly stepped up on the porch, looked through the window, and he got close enough, he could hear his wife praying, and the children were all gathered around him. And his wife was praying like this: "Oh God, thank you for our wonderful husband and daddy who loves you and is out preaching. And Lord, we want all these children to be saved and know it. Watch over this home. Oh Lord, I pour out my heart to you. God bless our family." And he said, "Everything will be all right. I believe they'll be saved." You know why? He had a praying wife who was praying them into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go deeper in prayer. And then go deeper in the power of God. How do you do that? How, preacher? How do I go deeper in the power of God? And I'll only be able to touch on these. I'll just be able to barely touch on them. A.W. Tozer, talking to another preacher on one occasion, A.W. Tozer, you wouldn't agree with everything he said, but a great man of God, the power of God in his writings on his life. And he said to A.W. Tozer, the other preacher, "How can I have the power of God?" By the way, would you like to have the power of God on your life? If not, you're backslidden. We should all want the power of God on our life, no matter what we're doing. But he said, you have to have these things, and I'll go over them hurriedly. First of all, a broken will. When Jesus prayed, he prayed three times, especially these words, "Not my will, but thine be done." Friend, if we want to have power of God, we've got to have a broken will. The second thing he said, you've got to have a clean heart. You've got to have a broken will. You've got to have a clean heart. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. "Search me, O God." How long has it been since we prayed? "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Search me, try me, know my heart, know my thoughts. "And see if there be any wicked way in me." Check it out, God. "And lead me in the way everlasting." Show me where I'm wrong and help me to get it right. We need to have that. And then we need to be an empty vessel. If we're going to have the power of God, you must be an empty vessel. Ephesians 5:18, "And be not drunk on wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled," or the original says, "be ye being filled with the Spirit," the Holy Spirit of God. And the only way we can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God is we have to be empty of self. Empty of self. Pour yourself out and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Another thing he said was you have to have a clear vision of Christ. We studied in my class this morning and about Stephen who was being pelted. It was the most amazing thing. He did not see those who were throwing the rocks at him. But who did he see? He saw Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. That's what we need to see. We need to have a clear vision of Christ. He didn't see who was doing that, but he did have a clear vision of Christ. We need to glue our eyes on the Son of Almighty God. And then he said, you need to live a crucified life. Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." And he was saying that the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Live a crucified life, crucified to self. And then Tozer told this story about what this means. A professor had some students. He was teaching them this subject. You need to be crucified with Christ. And they said, "We don't understand this. How do you live a crucified life? How do you live a life where you don't live in sin and don't let sin conquer you?" He said, "Well," he named a friend. He said, "You know our friend that died recently. I want you to go to the graveyard. I want you to go to the cemetery. And I want you to stand there and I want you to say every dirty, rotten thing you can think of about him. Just rattle it off. You're mean, you're cruel, you're smart aleck, I didn't like you, blah, 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 blah. Just rattle it off." And they did and came back and the professor said, "Did you do what I told you to do?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "What did he say?" He said, "He didn't say a word." He said, "All right, I want you to go back. I want you to go back and I want you to compliment him. Tell him what a great person he was and all the good traits and how he was sacrificed, this, and just name all of those things." And so they went back and did all of that, and they came back, and the professor said, "Did you do what I said?" They said, "Yes, we did." He said, "What did you say?" He said, "Not one word." He said, "That's what I'm talking about. You see, we are crucified to the self-willed way of life. I died in Christ. I was buried with Christ. I rose in Christ. And Paul said, I die daily. You treat yourself like you're dead. You don't have a will. The only will you have is the Father's will. And if we're going to have power with God, we've got to die daily, being crucified with Christ. We have to live a crucified life. I would ask this question, realizing we have a good church and realizing that it's a Bible-believing church and we have people saved and we baptize and we're still fundamental to the Word of God, I believe. All of that, some of our choices are preferences. Some of them are deep convictions. But I believe we have a good church. But I want to ask you this question. Let's talk about all of the Bible-believing churches. Where has the power gone? Where's the power of God in our church? I mean the real, explicit, every time we get together and every time we meet, power of God. Where is the power of God? You talk to some of these senior saints around here. You used to be in some of those old meetings, friend. You and I don't know what it is. I've never actually been in a meeting except one meeting way out in a country church where I saw what I thought was revival and the power of God came down. I've never seen anything like it. I'm not talking about running the aisles and shouting and doing cartwheels. I'm talking about the obvious, evident power of God where many people would be saved and even church people, and people would get right with God and revival would break loose. That's the kind of power we need. And it's available. Where is the power of God? We are not going to have it unless we dwell deeper. We need to dwell deep in the Word. Dwell deep in the knowledge of Christ. Dwell deep in prayer. Dwell deep in soul winning. And dwell deep in the power of God. And when we do that, God will give us new vision, which we all need from time to time. And God will give us strength, which we all need. And God will give us that power that we all want if we'll dwell deep. That's what this message is about to us. Come to the place as a believer that you'll say, God, by your grace, I'm going to dwell deeper in all of these areas to do your will. And then may I just say to you that are not saved, the deeper life begins at the foot of the cross. That's where it all starts. You need to be born again, really born again. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, and I simply ask the question, do you have a desire for the deeper walk, the deeper life with Christ? Not some theological argumentative jargon, but a real intimate relationship with Him. It's going to come through this. Do you want the power of God? You got to have a clean heart. You got to be dead to self, all of these things. May God help us. If you're here without Christ, come and make sure that you know for sure you're saved today. Father, thank you for your word. And as you warned the Dedanites, told them, dear God, to dwell deep, may you help us to take that same admonition today. I pray that as a church we'd dwell deeper. All these areas and other areas, help us and speak to us. Help us to desire new vision, more power, and to walk in your will. In order to do that, to have that intimate walk with you, we might dwell deep with you. Speak to our hearts and help us today to do what we know we ought to do. Help that person who's closest to hell today to be saved. In Christ's name. Amen. May God help you to come as He speaks to your heart.